April 24th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 943, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get 32% off at GoDaddy or pick up a domain name for $2.95. All of my specials can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at TechPodcast.com. Hey, folks, got a great show lined up for you. Glad to be back. We'll talk about what happened on Monday. And a few other more personal details. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran. I'm glad to have you here. And of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the longtime listeners of the show. And anyone that's in Ohana, and basically, if you're listening now, you're included. Ohana in Hawaii here means family. So welcome to our family of listeners. It's been a kind of a crazy week here. Matter of fact, my hair has kind of, I guess for a better word, quite been on fire. really, it just hasn't stopped all week. And I'll share a little bit with you in a few minutes why. And also tonight, I want to talk, basically go back to some roots and talk about some things that maybe many of you that are new to the show don't know, or maybe those that you that are longtime listeners may have kind of forgot or weren't aware of, but I want to kind of share some stuff tonight. So we're going to spend a little extra time at the beginning kind of sharing with that. We've got a lot to get through tonight on the tech side, so I'm going to make up for it. This is probably going to be a long show. There's a lot of content. And I'm not feeling rushed tonight. I'm going to just take it easy and spend some time with you folks. So I hope that you've missed your Geek News Central fix. But if you're brand new, hey, what we want you to do, let's see if I can get this configured right here and not be all thumbs for the next 15 minutes. Actually, I'll tell you, I should, share another story with you too. It's something I haven't told, well, you guys are here in a few minutes, but anyway, get over to geeknewscentral.com and, you can get subscribed to the show real easily by, basically following the links in the second column of the website. There's an iTunes or an RSS feed that you can get subscribed to. Matter of fact, if you're a Windows Phone user, the only way you can are going to be able to subscribe to this show on Windows Phone 8.1 is with the RSS feed that's on the website. Their new device or new application that they're coming out with will be strictly for it's basically going to tie into the RSS feed, which is cool, but at the same time going to be a pain for some podcasters. But there's a newsletter link as well. We want you to get signed up for the newsletter as well. So we want to thank all of you that are subscribed. And, of course, we want to encourage you to get subscribed as well. You can follow me on Twitter, or you can just email me at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, if you're watching the show right now on the screen, it says at geeknews. That's the Twitter account. And, of course, again, the email address is geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow on Facebook or on Google+. Those links will be in the show notes tonight. So just click on them and go over to the Google Plus page and follow. We want you to be involved in the show. We want the community to come together tighter as we grow. And as we march to 1,000, we definitely want to fill those communities up and make you guys feel more at home like you should be. And we want you to participate in the forums, whether it be on Facebook or Google Plus, so that we can just kind of hang out together. Okay, the Tech Podcast Network, of course, has this show on the Roku device, also on Google TV, coming very, very soon to the Amazon Fire TV. So I hope to make that announcement in the next couple of weeks. Keep our fingers crossed. So lots of places to watch. Heck, just right on your tablet or come to the website directly and click play. listen or watch, and that's really the way to stay connected with the show. Hey, tonight's show, of course, is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And, you know, GoDaddy's been a great sponsor here with us for many, many years. And there's lots of options over at GoDaddy right now. There's hundreds of new choices when it comes to new top-level domains, .club, .email, .guru. And of course, you guys know I picked up a couple of really cool .guru ones, .reviews, .today, .directory, and many, many more to come throughout the year. So we want you to pay attention to that. Our 25% off code is going to work. Of course, you can find all the codes for the for GoDaddy at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We had to kill one. The $35 off code died, but we've got the 32% off, the 25% off, which also works with the TLDs. We got the 50% off new hosting plans with a free domain, 50% off first 12 months of business website builder, $295 for a .com using the promo code 295geek. Just come over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and you're going to really be able to save a lot of money by using one of my promo codes. And we've had an issue last week with the server. They took care of everything in record time. We've been up running, knock on wood, everything's been good. But it really allowed me to kind of sit back and think about some things to do, because this server is really... we are really at the kind of the edge on the performance wise, because we're getting that much traffic and enough sites. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start offloading a few things. So I'm looking for someone to assist me, and we've already started some of the process already. But if you're a Unix guy and also knows a little something about Amazon S3 and CloudFront, definitely drop me an email. I want to employ you to do some work, and some of it's just going to be some grunt work, but we're going to make some changes, and I really do need a little bit of assistance and moving some things around. But drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. Could rely on Angelo to do it, but I've got him so swamped right now, I'm trying to not rely on him for some of this extra stuff, but it should be good for, I would think, 4 or 5 hours worth of work for somebody. Just nothing else, just kind of cleaning house. Everything's, you know, we're going to run the same way it has been, but we're going to take like images and that kind of stuff. We're going to take those off the server and put them up in the cloud. So that kind of stuff we're going to do to just, you know, help the performance on the website alone, make sure that increases. As we're getting ready to roll out the new site design as well, it's kind of be nice to have all that kind of in hand when we make the swap over. So let's talk just a little bit here. Monday, you know, I couldn't have got home if I'd have wanted to. The traffic, it was just like, it was this compound reaction. About 3 in the afternoon, I'm headed in town to pick my kids up from school. And, you know, it's normal, my normal time, because I normally, you know, pick them up, get turned around. I'm usually, depending on what time they get done, I'm usually back here by... Yeah, 5:30, and plenty of time to get ready for the show. And I noticed on the other side of the highway there was a tractor trailer stalled, and I'm like, oh man, that's gonna slow things down. I figured, okay, that's not gonna be too bad. There's, you know, and it was right at a merge. There's still 2 of the 3 lanes were still open. So I said, if I can get down, get them, get back. And of course, that was the afternoon. My daughter was late. So I'm, you know, tapping my foot in the car, and it's 5 o'clock, and she finally jumps in the car, and we go to get on the highway, and it's a parking lot. So I turn on the radio, and there's been a fire further down the line, about halfway between where I was at and my house, and the traffic was just stopped. Stopped. So, you know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, this will probably clear in an hour and a half. I'm thinking, all right, let's go get something to eat. If we can get on the road by 6:15, maybe we can be home by 7. I still might be able to make it. Yeah, right. It didn't turn out well. Not at all. Not in the least. I didn't make it. Sent the email from the car letting you guys know that... you know, it wasn't going to happen. So that's what happened Monday night. And really, that's no more excuse than that. But I got home and I'm just like, forget it. And I had so much stuff scheduled this week. There was just no way I could make the show up on Tuesday. So my apologies. And we're here and back with you. So that's, I guess, stuff happens, right? So I had planned Monday to really kind of dig deep into what really prompted me was over the weekend. And for those of you that are new, this is where we kind of wrap it down once in a while. We'll get into the tech, I promise. But give me 5 or 10 minutes here, okay, to kind of talk a little bit about something that's really, be honest with you, kind of irritating me. And this is not necessarily going to be a soapbox type of thing, but I grew up, and let me just give you some background so that you'll know where I'm coming from when I talk about this specific topic that kind of, you know, set my mind to spin. And when I was a kid, I grew up in the country. I mean, I grew up in Southern Michigan. For those of you watching, I lived at the bottom of the state, stone's throw from the Indiana state line in a small town called Quincy. It's where I went to high school. I think my graduating class was like 86 or 87 or something like that. It was a pretty small number. But it was a rural agriculture area. And my father was a contractor with heavy-duty equipment like bulldozers, backhoes, cranes, dragline cranes, the kind with cables that, you know, swing a bucket, and really the full, you know, semis, trailers. And, you know, as a kid growing up, there was never a dull moment. There was stuff to do all the time. And, you know, typically I would get off the bus from getting home from school, and I lived literally on a dirt road. And by the time I hit my teenage years, I was expected to be in the shop by, and my dad had a big machine shop, by about 3:30 in the afternoon to really go to work. And it was everything from cleaning to tearing equipment down to bending metal, you name it, whatever needed to be done, we did it. And in the winter was many times even harder work than in the summertime. But during summer breaks, you know, I was always, for when I got probably 15 or 16, I started going on the job with my dad, and he was a true ditch digger. He dug ditches. And we'd have to clear, you know, either side of the ditches, 75 feet back. And so, you know, I got pretty handy with a chainsaw. And, you know, I graduated high school. It's, you know, if you look at me today, like, what the hell happened? But, you know, I graduated high school like 100 pounds soaking wet. And there was an ounce of fat on me, largely because, you know, I just worked. You know, I was, you know, and we worked hard. And if my dad didn't have something for me to do, my grandfather was a cash crop farmer. Soybeans, corn, wheat, and farm, and animals, and we always had animals at our place, so there was always something to do, and we worked like dogs. Had to. I mean, my father by no means was wealthy. My mom still had to work sometimes for grocery money, because who got paid first was the employees got paid first, and my dad got paid last. Actually, employees, machines, machine maintenance, and then whatever was left, that's what my dad got for salary. And it was not my parents never really had a lot, and they did well, and my mom continues to do well today in a new business. And of course my father's no longer with me, but you know, one thing he instilled in me is work, hard work. And I try to make my kids understand that hard work is really will get you a lot further down the road today than anything else. So many times we see, I hate to say it, just these absolute lazy people that are not, you know, really earning their keep. But let me just back up again. Let's talk about something in here. Going back to my childhood, you know, I grew up around livestock and grew up around companies that had massive hog farms. You know, they would raise 1,000 pigs, and the pigs would never see the daylight before they went in the door and out the door in a, you know, they went in the door in a box and out the door in a box, and into the grocery store. So, you know, I'm always, seeing folks that are always whining about, you know, certain practices. And, you know, if people really took a look at the interior of America and understood what it takes to get what grows in the fields and being raised and all that to get that into their supermarkets, you know, they wouldn't complain. They wouldn't be, you know, always pointing the finger of, that person's doing one thing one way and he shouldn't be doing it that. And so, you know, an environmentalist, I'm not. I believe in, you know, protecting the environment, but, you know, I understand what it takes to, you know, get crops off the field and animals butchered and into the supermarket. And I know this has nothing to do with tech, but there's so many people today that whine. You know, I think I heard something there where some PETA folks were complaining about they're using eggs during the annual Easter roll at the White House. I'm like, you complain about the eggs? Or you give me a break. You know, chickens are raised to lay eggs. That's what they do. You know, and they say, oh, those could have been, you know, baby chicks instead. You do know, do people realize that chickens don't sit on eggs anymore? You know, they may in the wild, but what they do on farms, they get the eggs and they put them in an incubator. That's how it's done. Chickens don't sit on eggs till they hatch. It doesn't happen no more. So, you know, it's just the little things like that. And I know I'm bending but it just, sometimes people really need to stop and think. And I don't know if it's ignorance or they're just so wrapped around everything that they do that they're too short-sighted to see things. I don't know. It drives me a little bit nutso when I'm hearing people complain, especially about how Middle America works and what they do and what it takes to get stuff really on people's table. You know, and I'm a country boy at heart. That's where I grew up. When I talk about living in a country, it was about, you know, going outside, and I could have run, now I wouldn't do this, but I could have run naked in my front yard. Now, besides grossing my sister out and my parents, no one else would have seen me because it was that, you know, it's just like, I could do that. And no one would catch you, you know, because it's pretty rural. And so you guys got to understand sometimes where I come from, my thought process, even though I've been involved in technology for almost 30 years, having spent 24 years in the Navy and doing lots of stuff in the aerospace business. You know, it's still my roots are back there. People need to quit complaining and whining and being so nitpicky. And it just really drives me nuts because farmers can't go on strike. They have to work. The cows have to be milked. The fields have to be tended to. They're very hardworking, and it's really not saying other people don't work. Don't get me wrong, but sometimes it just really pisses me off when someone says something really ignorant and they don't fully understand the, you know, what's coming out of their mouth when it comes to, you know, what's going on with everything today with food and agriculture and everything else. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, we're importing a lot of stuff from foreign countries. We're bringing a lot of vegetables in. And that's just the nature of the beast these days. But it's definitely kind of a interesting perspective to watch people and how they talk. But I've went way off the reservation here. But anyway, here we are. Let's talk some tech. Let's have some fun. I'll get off my doggone complaining route here. And we'll have some fun here with talking some geek stuff. Okay, so let's move right into it. Let's switch gears. And had a few people jump in the chat room. One person caught me in the middle and was like, wow, and left. So I guess I scared somebody off. Oh, nothing like leaving the GoDaddy sponsor up too during my little rant. That was probably not good. Okay, so you know, it's almost one of those things where, like, should I cut that out of the show or should I start over? But anyway, let's move on. And let's talk about something really that's going to affect us as geeks. I want to make you a reminder that in 2007, then presidential hopeful, president or president hopeful Obama, pledged net neutrality laws if he was elected president. He was going to prioritize the basically barring broadband providers like AT&T and Comcast from prioritizing internet content and affixing his signature to the federal net neutrality rules would be high on his list during his first year in Oval Office. Now, the junior senator at the time from Illinois said during an interactive forum with the popular contenders put on MTV and MySpace at Coe College in Iowa. And so here we have in 2007, the president, the future president, was highly supportive of net neutrality laws. And yet, today, the FCC has basically came out and given Comcast and all the broadband internet providers the ability to become a toll troll. And that's what we're going to call them. We're going to call them toll trolls. And it's time to wake up. Because if we don't, and we don't start dialing the telephone tomorrow, and we don't start writing pieces to the FCC tomorrow, we're going to get what's rammed down our throats. Now, if you just think about this for a second, 3 weeks from now, the internet that you know and love is about to disappear. And if the internet was going to be changed fundamentally, or will be changed fundamentally in about the next 3 weeks, would you not start raising holy heck? Now, if the internet was going to be shut down in 3 weeks, you guys would all get out on the streets and scream bloody murder. And we know that on May 15th, the FCC will propose a new set of rules. They're supposed to stop big phone and cable companies from blocking websites or discriminating against apps and services they don't like, except they're going to have the ability to open up an express lane if they pay to do so. The FCC's latest attempt here to make rules for open internet is obviously a result of the federal court decision earlier this year. That ruling threw out FCC's existing open internet rules and sent the agency back to the drawing board. The new rules, apparently, according to FCC Chairman Wheeler, will restore the concepts of net neutrality consistent with the court ruling. But contrary to Wheeler's claims, the court did not force the FCC to choose this path. The court clearly told the FCC that if it wishes to ensure internet users can send and receive information free from ISPs, then the agency must classify ISPs as telecom carriers under Title II of the Communication Act. He has not said anything about this. We need to build public pressure on the FCC right now, immediately. We need to get on the phone. We need to sign petitions. Now, the FCC says we don't want to destroy net neutrality, but it's going to anyway. The FCC doesn't want companies like Netflix or Viacom to have to pay to get their content to end users or broadband networks, but it doesn't see a way or maybe even a reason to ban the practice. Now, they did a call with reporters today, and they laid out the agency's thinking on the new network neutrality rules, and they tried to address some of the concerns that the internet, as we know it, is broken. And it's a subtle shift that they're making to this the subtle shift is basically the FCC is going to attempt to honor the intent of the 2010 Open Internet Order, but they're at the same time probably going to have to allow companies like Comcast to become a toll troll and to charge companies like Netflix, companies like HBO, companies like ESPN to pay a toll to get their content through. Now, the FCC may implement a no-blocking position while resorting to call the ISP's common carriers. And the FCC plans to ask about establishing a baseline of broadband service and view anything that goes below this baseline as blocking. While this may seem kind of esoteric, in 2007, when Comcast was interfering with the delivery of BitTorrent packets, it argued that it was and actually blocking them. Instead, it was delaying delivery, so the routers, in fact, dropped the packets and customers couldn't access the files. And but again, there is a, a lot of people out there very upset right now. The FCC came out on their blog today and said, there's been a great deal of misinformation that has recently surfaced regarding the draft of Open Internet Notice of Proposed Rulemaking that we will today circulate to the commission. The notice proposes the reinstatement of open internet. He goes on and on and on. He says, to be clear, this is what the notice will propose, that all ISPs must transparently disclose to their subscribers and users all relevant information as to the policies that govern their network. Okay, that's big words, meaning nothing. That no legal content may be blocked. And that ISPs may not act in commercial unreasonable manner to harm the internet, including favoring the traffic from an affiliate entry. So they can have reasonable, they may act reasonable. So their definition of reasonable, you know, to me may be different what's reasonable from someone at Comcast. So you're going to get a time to comment here on this. And at the same time, the folks at Netflix came out, And this is what we've talked about on this show many, many times. They've accused Comcast of charging twice for the same internet content. In a new blog post, Netflix now claims that Comcast isn't truly offering transit service. Now, what's going on there? Let's talk about transit service for those of you who don't understand. If I'm a level 3, now level 3 is one of the big guys that has a huge backbone. They move a lot of internet back and forth. And what level 3 does, and other companies like them, they make peering arrangements. And basically, they tell, okay, Comcast, we're going to peer with your service, and so long as you send and receive data back and forth about equal, the peering is about the same. We're gonna make that deal. Now, they've made a deal with Comcast already, and Comcast, if Level 3 sends them too much traffic, Comcast can send Level 3 a bill. That's part of their business. That's how they do their business. So what Netflix does is Netflix says, hey, Level 3 or any of the other backbone providers, we want to route traffic through you. And Level 3 says, oh yeah, we'll take your traffic and we'll push it into Comcast, no problem. And we're going to charge you, you know, X amount of dollars to make that happen. But really what happens here now is since Netflix has done a deal with Comcast, so you got Level 3, let's say, for example, that is one of their inbound providers, and Netflix making a payment, and you, the customer, making a payment, Comcast is really making out like a bandit. They're charging everyone and acting as the toll troll. Netflix now claims that Comcast isn't truly offering transit service. It accuses Comcast of extorting content companies and its own customers by charging twice for the same content. That explains that while transit networks like Level 3 and Cogent help carry traffic to every network on the internet, Comcast isn't performing that role. Comcast isn't even helping Netflix move the traffic, according to Netflix, but simply acting as a gatekeeper for its own customers. Yet those customers are already theoretically paying Comcast for access to whatever internet content they request, including Netflix. Right? And this way, Comcast is double-dipping by getting both the subscribers and internet content providers to pay to access to each other. Netflix also suggests that Comcast intentionally allowed its connections to existing transit providers like Cogent and Level 3 to clog up in order to force the issue, but it's not clear who is actually at fault. I'm sure Comcast did that, in my opinion. Comcast, of course, no, we didn't do that. Matter of fact, they were slowing us down. Instead of Comcast spending money on their network to upgrade it to handle the traffic that you and I want from a provider, our internet provider, or charging me more for the service when they have to upgrade it, they are going to be the toll troll. So the issue is basically charging a potentially discriminatory fee for access to certain kinds of content. So if we want to get our Pandora's going to have to pay to get it to us. So we'll see where this leads. But the internet as we know it is about to change. You need to make sure that you take 20 minutes and make sure you go over to the FCC site and submit your testimony and what you want in your comments. Now, we'll get some links for you here shortly. As soon as we can, we will. But this is a big deal. Big deal. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, just 6 articles alone. There was probably 100 on this topic alone today. But don't forget, the President of the United States, as a candidate, pledged net neutrality. Did he do that? He didn't do that. He says, President had said before that companies like Google may not have gotten started without a level playing field and pledged to make sure net neutrality is the principle that his FCC is applying as they move forward. His revelation wasn't exactly jaw-dropping. After all, when the debate over enacting net neutrality laws was raging in that time frame in 2007, he devoted a podcast to touting the need for regulations and denying the bells and cable the ability to change the internet as we know it. He also signed on as a co-sponsor of legislation proposing net neutrality regulations for broadband providers. He wasn't the only presidential candidate to voice support for this. You had Senator Joe Biden, Democrat, which is now our vice president, Hillary Clinton, which at the time was a senator, Christopher Dodd, Democrat of Connecticut, former Democrat Senator John Edwards, Representative Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, Democrat New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson. They all wanted the net neutrality thing. But what did we get? Did we get anything? So don't forget that. Don't forget. And I'll have the link up in the show notes for you on what he said. And here we have the FCC about ready to change the internet as we know it. All right, let's talk about Google. Vic Gandura, Google Plus head, he's out. He's gone. Of course, he led Google into the social world with the creation of Google Plus. A Google spokesman confirmed the departure. And he basically today announced my departure from Google after almost 8 years. I'm also firm debt to Google Plus team. This is a group of people who built social at Google against the skepticism of so many. But there's something going on at Google. Apparently, Google's going to end the forced G+ integration and it's drastically cut division resources. Reports say that 1,000 to 1,200 employees will be moved from Google Plus to other divisions. In short, Google seems to be backing away from the original Google Plus strategy. There's a report out that states that Google Plus will no longer be considered a product that competes with Facebook and Twitter, and that Google's mission to force Google Plus in every product will end. Possibly moving Hangout into the Android platform. Photos somewhere else. I don't get it. I love Google Plus. So it's unclear what the future Google Plus will be. And we'll see the effects of this shortly. And as a brand, Google Plus is about as toxic as you can get. Any mention of the service getting close to a Google product usually results in instant rage from folks on the internet. Don't know why, but we'll see what happens here. Let's talk about some earnings report. Amazon reported $19.7 billion in quarterly revenue earnings, in line with expectations. So how much did they clear? What was their profit? Looks like about they had earnings of 23 cents a share, which is good. So I don't know what their total profit was, but it was $19.74 billion in revenue. At the same time, Microsoft's first fiscal quarter three earnings beat with revenue of $20.40 billion, with earnings per share of 68 cents, and Surface top line of 500. So basically, what's going on here? Surface revenue was slightly off. Office 365 uptake remains solid, and Azure grew quickly. The company also reported 1.2 million Xbox One sales, along with 800,000 Xbox 360s. So they had an operating income of $6.97 billion and a net income of $5.66 billion in the period. So they're still putting money in the bank. And, of course, Windows revenue in the period was strong. Windows OEM revenue grew 4%. What else? I think that's it. But definitely a good quarter for Microsoft. Everyone had a great quarter. The folks at Apple had a blowout quarter. They really rocked the house and made a bunch of huge announcements yesterday. 7-for-1 stock split. What else? And that's going to bring the price down to where maybe you and I can actually afford to buy a share or two. What else was in there? A buyback to like $1.3 billion or something like that, total stock buyback. Oh, one thing I want to mention about Amazon, they're thinking of basically implementing what's called last mile service in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, major big cities where they can basically outperform shippers like FedEx and UPS. So basically, they're trying to shorten the amount of time between the time you click order until when it's delivered. I tell you, it's pretty doggone quick. I've been buying a lot of stuff on Amazon Prime, and even though it takes 5 to 7 days to get here in Hawaii, it's free shipping. I could care less. All right, let's talk a little bit about Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin says the internet is a CIA project. He condemned the internet as being a CIA-controlled project. And, of course, the comments come just days after executives at Russia's largest social network reported that Putin affiliate has seized control of the company. Pavel Durov said that he'd been ousted from the company that he founded. I have to reach out to one of... I had an interview last year with... as a matter of fact, they just launched a new project. It's a product. It's up on... Geek News Central is reported today, and I don't know if you want to have your email through a Russian company or not, but my.com has launched the first mobile-only email service, and that's run by the folks. My.com's opened by a Russian that is basically the equivalent of he's a rich billionaire. And they're trying to break into the U.S. market. But going back to what Putin is doing, even worse, Putin has basically told that Russians specifically Russian bloggers, have to register with the government. So if you're a blogger and you love free speech, guess what? They don't want people speaking their minds online. And so they basically now want bloggers to declare their family name and initials and email addresses. You have to go register with the essentially the KGB again. So they're also saying if a person's personal blog has more than 3,000 visitors a day, they have to put their names on a special list and abide by a particular very serious set of restrictions. Those restrictions are basically the same that many mass media outlets must obey in Russia. And if they violate those laws, they'll be subject to fines or even have their site suspended or probably be taken to the gulag and beat or killed. So what is Storf's off limits for bloggers in Russia? Well, first and foremost, they'll be expected to confirm the authenticity of any information they publish and avoid disclosing people's personal data. Those rules in particular are aimed at protecting politicians from controversy and smear campaigns. Beyond that, they're prohibited against posting violent or porn content and even using obscene language. And anything the government deems extremist or related to terrorism is off limits. So it's pretty obvious here. They want to scare bloggers into avoiding posting controversial opinions and information, especially about government authorities. And there's a chance that the new law could fall before the Russia's constitutional court. You know, I've always, for many years, I've always laughed. Oh, Russia's our friends now. You know, anyone that really grew up in a time of the Cold War, do you really believe that? You know, it won't be too long. Putin's going to do more stuff. You just stand by. He's just going, nah, 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 nah. He doesn't care. They have plenty of oil and gas. You know, they got plenty of exports. They're flushing cash again. So, you know, they're just, you know, going to now it's time to bring the hammer down and bring the country back in line and, you know, start putting people in internment camps and, you know, everything else. You know, it's not a surprise. So Vladimir Putin and his bare chest says, if you're a blogger, you must register. Oh, will they make us start registering here in the United States if we're bloggers? All right, let's switch topics completely. Do you want to know? Here's a little trivia thing. You ever wonder who invented the clean room? Well, the folks at Sandia National Labs in Albuquerque, New Mexico, were the ones that came up with it. Specifically, one guy that was basically the father of the clean room. And there's a pretty good little FAQ on how it developed and when and why. Is really the clean room goes back to the 60s. It's because back then transistors could be shorted out with a piece of metal or something that's, you know, smaller or thinner than thinner than like 1/10 of a micron or something like that. So talks about smart rooms and how they came into existence. So I have the link up in the show notes. Hey, any of you that are PlayOn fans, and PlayOn is one of the media services. PlayOn's bringing 100+ channels to Chromecast. So this is huge. So PlayOn ad support, bringing 100+ channels, DVR capability, and a uniform mobile interface to browse channels and content to Chromecast users. So this is big news here. Now, PlayOn is available as an annual subscription for $29.99 a year or lifetime for $60. Of course, PlayOn can also stream to Xbox, Xbox 360, and Roku devices. So they got some pretty cool stuff. They really do. Hey, have you updated your iPhone? The new iPhone update 7.11 is supposed to improve battery life. I'm going to be doing that because my iPhone is like dying. It just doesn't get very far on a charge these days. So I'll definitely be doing that. Uh-oh, what happened there? I just heard a ding. That didn't fail, did it? No, it's still running. Okay, good. That didn't. I've got PuTTY, and those of you that are techies will know what PuTTY is. I got PuTTY running and doing some task in the background on one of my hosting accounts. All right, so I want to show you guys something here. Build your own space station with a Little Bits NASA-approved kit. I almost want one of these for myself. It's $189, and it's definitely designed for kids. But when you see the video on this, the geek in you is going to want to buy one of these. I think it's pretty exciting. I'm going to look a lot more into it. And maybe, how should I say it? Wink, wink, I'll buy it for my son. Wink, wink. You gotta geek out. It's boys and their toys, and this is definitely a toy, but it's kind of a cool one, and it does have some function to it too. It has little things you can do for science projects and stuff. All right, Microsoft released a remote desktop app for Windows Phone, so that's pretty good. If you've got a Windows Phone, you can now, as long as you got Windows Phone 8.1. you can download the remote desk app, which basically allows your phone to access your home PC. In San Francisco, article over on Huffington Post, landlords accused of kicking out tenants to list on Airbnb are being investigated by San Francisco city attorney. And he alleges that some landlords are evicting tenants in order to list their apartments for elevated rates on short-term rental sites like Airbnb. And he's going after him in a big, big way. So that's kind of an interesting move as well. So going back to the National Space Station, the ISS crew is, I think, when did they do it? Have they done it already? Yeah, they have. They went on a spacewalk to replace a malfunctioning computer. NASA astronaut Steve Swanson and Rick, oh my goodness, Mastrocchio, members of the ISS Expedition 39 crew undertook a short spacewalk to replace the malfunctioning MDM. The spacebook concluded at 11:32 a.m. Eastern when the astronauts re-entered and repressurized. How long were they out? Didn't say how long they were out, but it was apparently pretty short. I don't think anything when you do a spacewalk is short. Of course, the Dragon has made it up there from SpaceX. It's being unloaded. I think it'll be there like another 18 days before they send it back to Earth. I haven't heard any updates yet, though, on what happened with the rocket that re-entered, and they basically tried to land it horizontally. Vertically. before the... isn't that horrible? Basically, and they said it basically stayed online for a number of seconds before it tipped over and went into the ocean. But I'd like to see some more results on that. Hey, you want to live in nerd paradise? Well, they've got some states that are nerd heavens. Now check this out: Alaska, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, Kansas, Wisconsin, Indiana, Kentucky, West Virginia, and Maine are what they say is nerd heaven. Now, California, which you would expect to be, so let me go through this list. California, Texas, Arkansas, Nebraska, Minnesota, Illinois, Tennessee, Ohio, and Pennsylvania say there are few nerds. Now, how can they say that? Silicon Valley in California is full of nerds. Nerd hell is Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Delaware, Washington, D.C., and South Dakota. And those states that are nerd friendly are Nevada, Arizona, Oklahoma, Missouri, Iowa, and Michigan, including Rhode Island as well, and Massachusetts. So I don't know how they came up with this list, but... I guess Real Estate eStately has ranked the nation from most to least nerd dense and concluded that the rural Western states are prime habitat for nerds. So, of course, we all know that nerds, geeks, make more money than most people do. So you know, you tell your daughters to go to those states to find their husband. You don't want to send them to Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Florida, South Dakota, or New York. They're not going to find a geek down there, except for this audience, of course. Anyway, a little fun. And I don't know what criteria they came up with, but you can read through the article. Flood beacon. If you live in a flood-prone area, they're starting to deploy or basically prototyping what's called a flood beacon, and it floats on water. Basically, it measures water rise and can basically send out an alert very quickly and oftentimes more accurate than what's in available via the news service and so forth. So we'll see where this leads, but kind of cool stuff where they can put sensors now and stuff and float them, and basically it uses a GPS thing to tell what's going on. Apple users are at risk by Apple. They had a three-week delay between OS 10 and iOS patches. Apple exposed iOS users to security threats by taking 3 weeks longer to patch the same vulnerabilities in the mobile OS that it previously fixed in Safari on OS 10. This is not good. Security researcher who left Apple at the end of January for a position at Tesla Motors strongly criticized the former employer software patching practices in a blog post on Wednesday. The researcher pointed out that the vulnerabilities fixed in iOS 7.11, which was released by Apple Tuesday, were the same ones the company had patched in Safari iOS 6.13 and 7.03 for OS 10 on April 1. Many of those vulnerabilities were located in the WebKit, the web rendering engine used by iOS, the Safari browser, and OS 10 applications. Most of them had been found by members of the Google Chrome security team. So your phones were open to hack while your computers were not. Pretty sad state of affairs. Things should be patched all together. Appears Apple and Google will settle their no poaching conspiracy lawsuit. It's not saying how much they're going to pay, but they're going to pay something. If the companies had not agreed to settle, plaintiffs would have asked a jury to award roughly $3 billion in damages. Under antitrust law, that could have been tripled to $9 billion. So we don't know how much they paid. I doubt we'll ever know. Maybe it'll leak, but they both agreed to settle and write a check. Okay, article we're on Huffington Post talking about Verizon Blockbuster data breach report is bad news for organizations, and I haven't seen the report, but Verizon apparently published a report on the internet data breaches, which has garnered major headlines because it fingers Eastern Europe as a greater source of attacks than those from East Asia and primarily China. Prepared with the cooperation of 50 companies in different parts of the world, the Verizon study classifies data breaches into different categories, but the two most important stand out visibly from all others are the point of sale attacks and cyber espionage attacks. So I'm going to try to get my hand on this thing. And so we can share it with you. If anyone sees a link to this this report, this Verizon Blockbuster data breach report, let me know. Send me an email. We'll put it up for the audience on Geek News Central. But it's got some damning information in it. Hey, big win for us Windows users. The Windows 8.1 start menu could show up this summer. So I think Windows has given up. And but it appears the start menu is going to appear this fall. Two well-known Microsoft watchers say the highly anticipated update could be here before summer is out. So that's outstanding. It really, really is to get the start menu back. All right, over on TechCrunch, Code Academy is being reported as moving to be a one-stop shop for programming education. And of course, we've known about Code Academy for a long time. And but the company says it's learned a few things about itself and launched a new redesigned website today with an enhanced framework for teaching more than just the nuts and bolts of programming. So basically, they're trying to transform itself from a first step on the path to learning how to code and getting a job to really taking things really to the next level to be a one-stop shop for online continuing and professional education. So I'm definitely going to, I need to learn a little code. and I'm tired of being behind the eight ball on some of this stuff. So I may take a few of these classes. I don't know how much they charge, but I got some GI Bill to use, and before it expires, and maybe this may be what I'll do. Not like I don't have enough time on, you know, enough to do already, but we'll see. Hey, we talked about Heartbleed and OpenSSL complaining about not having enough money. Well, it appears that some companies have stood up and put some money in the pot, and so basically, the what's going to happen is that who's going to control the cash here? Some Linux Foundation is going to basically control the cash, and then they're going to hand out money to OpenSSL and other folks to try to solidify. It's a Linux Foundation. It's going to working on a 3-year initiative with at least $3.9 million that's been donated. It's going to go to multiple open source projects, and they're going to work at fortifying a variety of different services that we rely on. So this is good. This is big deal here. The funding's not going to come with strings attached, but it's going to be basically they're going to be doling out to OpenSSL and other folks. And there's multiple members are going to get cash. So that's cool. It really, really is. So they're going to try to beef that up. The feds are basically asking the Supreme Court to let them search phones without a warrant. Law enforcement has long advocated for universal kill switches in cell phones to cut down on mobile device theft. But now that the Department of Justice argues that the same remote locking and data wiping technology represents a threat to police investigations, and basically in a brief filed to the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday, the case alleged against a Boston drug dealer, the Justice Department argues that police should be free to warrantlessly search a cell phone taken from suspects immediately at the time of arrest rather than risk letting the suspect or his associates lock or remotely wipe the phone before it can be searched. So they want first strike. They want to be able to plug that baby in and get access to the data immediately without a search warrant. I still think that the police and law enforcement should have to get a search warrant before they do that. I really, really do. They can go get the phone records and all that stuff later, right? Oh, where did that voice? I'm hearing an ad. I got my speaker turned up. So one of these websites just kicked off talking about macaroni and cheese or something stupid. Okay. Over in the New York Times, it's being reported that an informant working for the FBI coordinated a 2012 campaign of hundreds of cyber attacks on foreign websites, including some operated by governments of Iran, Syria, Brazil, and Pakistan, according to documents and interviews with people involved in the attacks in the Freedom of Information Act. So, boy, oh boy. Looks like the FBI may have been using this guy to do some cyber attacks. I don't know what... Is the FBI... Is that part of their charter? I think some other government agencies would be part of that, would be the ones to do that. But it's a very damning article over on the New York Times. Link will be up in the show notes. Hey, if you, any of you guys use or ladies use electronic cigarette, the vapor ones? The FDA thinks that electronic cigarettes are tobacco products. You know, these electronic cigarettes can be used to have non-nicotine liquid in them. They can be it's like, have any of you ever done hookah? It's basically the same thing and a little different, but the FDA has proposed new rules that would bring electronic cigarettes under its regulations for tobacco products. I swear, and we live in a society. Oh, you get that away from me. Secondhand smoke. I guess now they're worried about secondhand vapor. We live in such a PC world, don't we? It's crazy. The FDA seeks answers to the many public health questions posed by products such as e-cigarettes that do not involve the burning of tobacco and inhalation of the smoke as the agency develops an appropriate level of regulatory oversight for these products. The FDA seeks comment in the proposed rules of how such products should be regulated. You know, I am one of those folks that if someone wants to smoke, go ahead and let them smoke. You know, it really... You know, I know many people don't like being around people that smoke, but, you know, if someone's outside, you know, and they're not in an enclosed space, it's just, in some places, the restrictions are incredible. And I was, oh my God, you're going to kill me with secondhand smoke. When I was first in the Navy, I might as well have smoked because I flew in an airplane that had 20 smokers and I was the only guy that probably didn't smoke. So to me, it didn't bother me. And was it bad for my health? Probably. But everything else is bad for your health, too. It's, you know, if you want to smoke, you know, light them up, go for it, in my opinion. But, you know, they say nicotine is a drug. And, but treating them as a tobacco product, to me, seems to be a little bit inaccurate. Is caffeine going to be a drug next too? Or, you know, are we going to have to go outside to, you know, to drink our Coke? Oh, man. Sometimes I really wonder. Hey, Apple CEO Tim Cook continues to tease new products and really hasn't said a lot, except we got some cool stuff coming. So we'll see if they've got some cool stuff coming. One of the rumored things is, of course, Nike fired or reorganized their wearable division here recently. But there's some rumor out that Apple and Nike are gearing up for a big announcement this fall. And this is one of the reasons why Nike has reorganized their wearable stuff. So maybe that's the deal. Maybe Nike has got a, you know, a deal with Apple. Time will tell. We'll see where this leads. Hey, how many of you got an external battery for your phone? You know, every one of us probably does. You know, we're juice hogs right now. We need more power. But there's a new, according to Gizmodo, there's a new device out there called Jumpstart. And it's got 6,000 mAh of power. And you can charge a couple of smartphones or even a tablet with this. But since Jumper also provides a 12 volts of power at a peak of 300 amps, it also can be used to jumpstart most 4 and 6 cylinder engine vehicles. So this thing is apparently got the ability to jumpstart your car. That's wow. Do they provide a cable? I guess they do. They provide a cable for it. Holy smokes, that little battery pack. That's pretty cool. I'm going to have to definitely check one of these out. $70 going to be available on May 1st. The link will be up in the show notes. Call of Duty. You know, people get pretty passionate when they're playing Call of Duty. Well, one guy was getting beat by someone. He knew where he lived somehow. And he called in a fake murder. And the SWAT team busted the door down on a house of the guy that was beating this other guy with the in Call of Duty. I guess that's some serious sour grapes with persons upset. Hey, you know, Tesla's been banned from doing direct sales in a lot of states, but Tesla's just gained a valuable ally in its battle to sell cars directly to consumers. The FTC is arguing that state bans on direct sales are protectionist, propping up traditional dealership business models rather than protecting companies from unfair abuses by automakers. So they're basically saying, hey, the FCC is not happy if states are blocking them. So this may open the door to Tesla to filing lawsuits and getting some relief from the FCC. Of course, the National Automobile Dealer Association is less than enthusiastic about this. Hey, wouldn't it be nice if we don't have to buy a car from a dealer? And I know we can do part of that now, but let's just do direct sales. You know, just buy a car, go online, you compete, you have two or three people compete. You know, there could be a trend there. We'll see what happens. All right, final article of tonight. And this is kind of interesting. Oh, I actually talked about this. I have two articles on vaping, so we'll just skip that. One thing I failed to do at the beginning of the show tonight I got out of sequence. I was supposed to read the comments at the beginning of the show, and I did not. I got an email from Jeff referring to Dish Internet TV service launching this summer. So thanks for that, Jeff. Jeff sent something over on the start menu on Windows 8 in August. We know that's happening. I want to thank Justin for letting me know that one of my codes didn't work. But definitely be aware that the 295 code for .coms are still active. But when you go to buy another domain, definitely come over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy first before you grab a product. Got an email from MS Small Biz. Goes on to say, just a quick comment on your recent mention of the Opportunity rover and its solar panels getting a dust off by recent winds on Mars. Is it just me, or does anyone else wonder why these brainy rocket scientists haven't figured out when you send a solar-powered robot to a dusty world, you might want to design some sort of solar panel wiper? We have windshield wipers since 1903. NASCAR's use of a rolling film, a plastic that they can rotate on across the onboard race cameras to provide a new clear view. NASA can't figure out they need a dust buster on solar panels destined for Mars. I think it's about weight. I'll give NASA its due when deserved, but let's not forget they're the same folks that forget to change a metric to inches and lost 125 million Mars climate orbiters. So forgetting the windshield wiper, I guess, is par. Maybe they could have, maybe they should have to do a state vehicle inspection before launch. Ha ha ha. You know, one thing is we should think about there is that, you know, some of this stuff is pretty hard. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense just to have a tear off, right? But then the environmentalists would accuse NASA of littering. Or the tear off would end up in the wheels or something. That's, I'm sure, a lot. And a windshield wiper would scratch the panels. Who knows? How about some canned air? I think some canned air would have went well, right? I think that's it. Let me look here. 24th, last show is the 17th. Yeah, I think that's it for the comments on today's show. Hey, again, if you've got some Linux chops and some Amazon S3 AWS chops, could use you. And soon, don't delay, email me, geeknews@gmail.com. I'll get you going and make a little money on the side. Please include in your email what your hourly rate is, please, for any services rendered. But and guess, basically send me your experience as well and what you've worked on. All right, folks, that's it. Let's get out of here. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. And glad to be back with you. Actually did okay on time. And thanks for letting me rant at the beginning of the show tonight. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Geeknews@gmail.com, @geeknews at Twitter, and definitely come over to geeknewscentral.com, the website. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.